Some apparently conflicting news on the swine flu front this week. On one hand, local emergency rooms say visits by people with flu-like symptoms seem to have reached a plateau. On the other, public health officials report a rise in flu-like illnesses across the state. So they're still urging caution and preparedness to prevent the further spread of the H1N1 virus. And colleges are taking that to heart. Young people are considered at risk, especially those living in close proximity. WBUR's Adam Ragusea canvassed some local college campuses to find out what they're doing.
Can I help you?
Sure. What's your last name?
In the waiting room at Boston University Student Health Services, half the kids are wearing the blue surgical masks they're giving out at the door. It's a two-hour wait for walk-ins, and everyone is coughing.
Our total number of visits are actually about the same as they were last year, but there are some confounding factors to that measurement.
Dr. David McBride is the director here.
We're not specifically measuring the visits that we're doing on the phone, and those are really much higher than they have been in years past.
If you're calling in regard to flu-like symptoms, and you have a cough or a sore throat with a fever of 100, you may have an influenza-like illness. Please leave a detailed message.
It's a similar story at student health centers all over the city. Revamped hotlines like this one at Emerson College are designed to provide a lot of care in lieu of face-to-face visits. Why?
My worry is that the students who come in with typical cold symptoms are sitting in a waiting room with students who really have influenza.
But this is hardly the only place where germs can be exchanged on a densely packed college campus. When one kid gets fluish, how do you keep their whole residence hall from going down?
We work cooperatively with our residence life and housing staff to identify the means to isolate a student.
Isolation can be voluntary, like it is at BU, MIT, or Brandeis. But at some places, like Wellesley and BC, they're actually mandating it. Feeling fluish? Move to a special room or go home.
My name is Siobhan Betzler, and I'm a freshman at Emerson. I'm a writing, literature, and publishing major. The first week of October, Thursday morning, I woke up, and I was feeling sick. I was feverish, and I went to the Health and Wellness Center, and they told me I had 102-degree fever and that I had to be put in medical isolation.
Siobhan says a student worker marched her straight from the health center to collect her things before dropping her off in an isolation room on an upper floor.
I mean, it kind of sucked because it wasn't like they didn't have anything already like prepared for me. Like, I feel like they should have stuff for students who are sick and everything, but it was just like a completely empty dorm room, and it was cold and dirty, and it was gross.
Siobhan says nobody from the health center followed up with her. Her roommate brought her food. By the end of that first day, she was feeling better and wanted to go back to her regular room. Her friends started scrawling "Free Siobhan" in the halls.
Do you regret having gone to the health center in the first place?
I definitely do. Yeah, I wish I hadn't gone at all. And most students now are like, yeah, I'm not going. Like, I'd rather just stay in my dorm room and sleep it off. That's what I should have done.
For the record, Emerson officials say isolation is not compulsory, just highly recommended. The Free Siobhan incident isn't the only minor controversy to have erupted on a college campus over quarantine procedures this year. Back at BU, some students staged a revolt on Facebook after officials moved a fluish student onto their floor, a floor with only one communal bathroom. Dr. McBride of the BU Health Center says the risk to the healthy students there was minimal.
We did meet with those students and I think tried to explain the rationale behind what it is that we're doing.
And what are they want you to put the kid on a leper colony?
Yeah. I don't know what it is exactly that they want. I think our logical selves need to rule and realize the risk of physically being on campus or walking down the street or taking the T is in many ways perhaps even greater than that risk that would be conferred by living in a hallway with someone.
That said, as I exit Dr. McBride's office, there are even more mask-covered faces in the waiting room, and I overhear a staff member tell a student there are no appointments available until the day after tomorrow. For WBUR, I'm Adam Ragusea.
Tune in later today when Radio Boston continues the conversation about the H1N1 virus. You can call in or email your questions and comments for public health experts. Again, it's on Radio Boston today at 1 p.m. on WBUR.